Trend number two, the regulatory solution. In the wake of the Great Recession and soaring deficits, public opinion is coalescing around the urgent need to grow the economy and cut federal spending. And there seems to be one course of action that will contribute to both of these goals, taking a metaphorical axe to federal regulatory funding. This step is crucial for two primary reasons. First, federal spending in general has grown out of proportion to the rest of the economy and to tax receipts. Researchers at the Phoenix Center for Advanced Legal and Economic Public Policy Studies, using the Federal Reserve Economic Data Online Database, recently compiled some statistics that drive this point home. They found that since the official beginning of the recession in December of 2007, wages and salaries have fallen by 2%. Meanwhile, during the same period, the federal government increased its overall spending by 23%. Since tax revenues have not grown, a large portion of the spending was financed by borrowed money. As a result, we added $4 trillion to the federal debt, a 50% increase. Looking ahead, it is projected that the deficit in 2011 will once again be in the $1.3 trillion range, driving the debt even higher. Part of this bloated and irresponsible budget is allocated to regulatory efforts. That number is $60 billion annually and climbing. So, cutting this funding would result in a direct savings to taxpayers. And any dollar the government doesn't spend is one less dollar that it has to tax or borrow. Over the past decade, politicians have repeatedly demonstrated that under normal circumstances, they have no hesitation about using one or both of these options. That's why it's so important to act now when the national mood seems willing to reward government frugality. The second, and by far the most important reason for cutting funding for regulatory agencies and eliminating the regulations they are charged with enforcing, is that the total cost of complying with these regulations goes far beyond the regulatory agencies' budgets. And this is where diminishing and even negative returns on our investments can be seen. Admittedly, a small set of regulations probably makes sense. However, it's no exaggeration to say that most regulations have created unintended consequences and placed an unnecessary and debilitating burden on our economy that could never be justified by an objective cost-benefit analysis. Consider just a few hard numbers associated with federal regulations highlighted by Wayne Cruz in the most recent edition of 10,000 Commandments, an annual snapshot of the federal regulatory state. 3,573. That's the number of final rules issued by federal agencies in 2010 alone. 217. That's the number of bills Congress passed and the President signed into law in 2010. This is a large number of new laws, but when compared to 3,573 rules issued by regulatory agencies, it illustrates the relative magnitude of decisions made by our elected officials versus those delegated to bureaucrats. And $1.75 trillion, the amount regulatory compliance cost businesses in 2010. That's nearly 12% of U.S. GDP, and it's nearly double the estimated 2010 individual income taxes. Put another way, getting rid of just half the current regulatory burden would be like cutting everyone's personal income taxes to zero. Even more distressing is the fact that regulations hurt small businesses more than they do Fortune 500 corporations. A report released by the Office of Advocacy of the U.S. Small Business Administration found that federal regulations cost businesses $8,086 per employee on average in 2008. Small businesses with less than 20 employees were hit hardest, with an average annual cost per employee of $10,585. For an average small business of 20 employees, regulations resulted in additional business costs totaling nearly $212,000 per year. Meanwhile, firms with more than 499 employees shelled out an average of $7,755 per employee. And that brings us to the first unintended consequence of today's regulatory overhead. Even President Obama recently acknowledged this truth, admitting that excess federal regulations have stifled innovation and have had a chilling effect on growth and jobs. Just consider the implications of a typical 20-person firm spending $212,000 to comply with regulations. That $212,000 is no longer available to invest in the infrastructure or employee training needed to expand. It isn't available to fund a new idea. It can't be spent to create new jobs or prevent the loss of existing jobs during a downturn. And when we multiply these costs by the millions of businesses, large and small, that are impacted, it's not hard to see one reason that the recovery from the Great Recession has been so lackluster. Secondly, excessive regulation competitively weakens U.S. companies in the face of international competition. The Small Business Administration report points out that the cost of regulation adds to the cost of goods made in the U.S., giving foreign companies a market advantage. This further erodes our economic growth. A third major impact of regulation is increased business uncertainty. Business owners and executives are hesitant to invest and hire additional workers out of fear of what's coming next. At the end of fiscal year 2010, there were 4,225 rules in the regulatory pipeline, of which 224 had the potential to have a non-trivial economic impact. With such regulatory uncertainty heaped on top of conventional marketplace unknowns, there's little reason to wonder why decision-makers are now very risk-averse. And since there is always risk involved in growth, increased risk aversion means less growth. In light of this trend, we offer the following three forecasts for your consideration. First, the answer for renewed economic growth is to reduce regulation so businesses are free and motivated to expand and innovate. The easiest, fastest, and most effective solution is to trim the regulatory budget aggressively, now. Why? As the report from the Phoenix Center points out, a systematic attempt to determine which regulations are causing the most economic harm and eliminate them would require substantial time, effort, and resources, all of which are in short supply. Cutting agency budgets dramatically would not only eliminate the need to rush this process, but it would have the added benefit of lowering the overall federal budget immediately. Second, as today's tough economy continues to disappoint, the issue of rolling back regulations will be ground zero for the coming 2012 election. President Obama knows if the economy doesn't improve appreciably by August 2012, the election will be a referendum on the economy, and he will lose. Although he and many members of Congress favor greater regulation, they realize what policies need to change if they are to get reelected. This is why Obama signed an executive order in January, calling for a cost-benefit review of federal regulations. However, it is doubtful that anything will come of this order, since agencies are unlikely to admit their regulations aren't delivering enough benefit to justify their costs. Obama can benefit from agreeing to substantial but selective cuts in regulations. He may even be able to satisfy his base by proposing a temporary suspension of some regulations. However, if he remains consistent with his prior policy statements and refuses to deregulate, Republicans in the House of Representatives can still force substantial reductions via the 2012 budget process and use the administration's opposition as a key issue in the 2012 elections. And third, once the political momentum finally swings toward fewer regulations, the result will be a dramatic drop in the unemployment rate and a surge in economic growth. The Phoenix Center's quantitative analysis documented in the report revealed several relationships between government spending on regulatory activity and the growth of GDP and jobs. For example, reducing regulatory funding over a five-year window by just 5%, which would save $2.8 billion directly, would expand GDP by roughly $376 billion. That same five-year reduction would enable the creation of 6.2 million new jobs. And, even better, A more aggressive 16% reduction over 5 years would result in over $1 trillion in additional GDP growth.